Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, my name's Az. I'm the pastor here, and it's so great to have you here on such a powerful day. Most powerful day in history, really. It's the hope-filled moment that changed the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope you get excited today. I hope you get a bit loud today, actually. You know, you might be normally a passive crowd. Just get loud today because, you know, at the end of the day, Good Friday, the cross was not the end. That's not the end. And Beck mentioned it. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. All right, there you are. There you are. Hope is alive, all right? But at the center of it all is actually love. Jesus said these words, "No greater love has anyone than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." You know, on Good Friday, we saw that that love, like really was on full display. Jesus willingly laid down his life, not for just people who he knew around, not just for people that earned it. You know, like, oh, I love you. Okay, I'll love you back. Jesus died for sinners, for people who are broken, messed up. Enemies of God he died for. He died for you and me. And when Jesus spoke about no greater love, he wasn't speaking some theoretical love. Like, he actually intended to show us it in action. Think about that. He showed it to us in action. If you don't know this, Jesus loves you. He really loves you. Like, God loves you. And Jesus tells his disciples the gravity of his love towards you and I. He explains it like this in John 15, 9 to 16. He opens up and he talks to his disciples. He says, "This is how much I love you." He says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Jesus literally says, "As the Father has loved me." He's talking about God the Father. Like, the love of the Father is so deep, so vast, you cannot understand it. Jesus says, "I love my Father the same, but as I love my Father and he loves me, I love you." Like, the hugeness of that love, you can never comprehend it. It's a supernatural love. And then Jesus says, "Remain in my love." Remain. Now, remain in my love. Pretty much Jesus says to his disciples, never leave this place. Never ever get convinced that you're not worthy of my love. Never step out of it. Never start thinking, well, I need to work my way back to your love. I need to somehow work up the ladder to your love. He said, no, remain in my love. I already love you. Remain in my love. Don't fall out of that place. You're never disqualified from God's love. Embrace that love. It's the highest form of love. So interesting, when we stay in his love, we just can't help but love others. It's an overflow because we're connected to him. And this morning, I want to challenge us all on remaining in his love because, you know, it's quite a hard thing as a follower of Jesus to actually remember that sometimes. God actually loves me. He actually loves me. I remember a few years ago, I caught up with a friend who'd been in church for about a decade. We used to go to church together when we were in our early 20s. And I was hanging out and I said, "Mate, you're in church, still go to church?" "Nah." He goes, "I don't go anymore." And I said to him, "Why?" And he goes, "I don't feel God's love. I try to follow him for a long time, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel his love, and so I've walked away." And today I want to say this to you. God's love isn't a feeling. God's love is an action. Because sometimes our feelings tell us that God doesn't love me, but God showed us his love through Jesus' sacrifice. He didn't send some kind of cosmic feeling. "I'm going to show the world I love them, and if you get that feeling, you're going to know." Ooh. He showed his love by dying for us on a cross. He was a man of action. He's like, "I tell you I love you, now I'm going to show you that I love you." And if we rely on our feelings and forget to actually see what he did, then you'll constantly fall out of love. Because you'll be like, "Well, I don't feel it today." God still loves you. He died for you. He loves you. He died for you.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And today my prayer is that you will know his love. That you'll know his love, but you also remain in his love by responding with love. Be people of action and not just lip service. It's very easy just to sing, I love you, Jesus. But God's looking for the same that he brought to you. He's like, would you show it? Would you show it? And there's actually a key to remaining in his love. It says this, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Today, over 20 individuals over these two services are getting baptized. That's where you cheer. Like, that's amazing, right? That's amazing. They're stepping out. Yes, it's out of a place of, I just love God, but it's actually an act of obedience. There's something really powerful about today because through action, they're showing Jesus, I love you. Like through his actions, he died for us. He showed us through he loves us. It's a simple action, baptism. And a lot of us in this room, you might be afraid to do it. You're like, nah, I'm too scared of what people might think. I'm not really sure why I should do it. But Jesus commands us to do it. And the scriptures make it clear that baptism isn't just some kind of religious act. It's not like a religious moment in church, like, oh, I'm now a churchgoer. In fact, I was talking to a couple of ladies just before the service saying, we don't get baptism because I got baptized when I was a baby. I don't really get it. I don't really understand, like, why do we do it? Is it some kind of religious thing or whatever? It's far greater than a religious moment. It symbolizes being born again. It's a spiritual decision that says, I'm going to leave my old life behind and decide to do things Jesus' ways from this day forward. Like, I am dying to my... I'm going to be born again. And Jesus talks to this priest at a certain stage in his ministry. The guy's name is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus because he's very confused about who Jesus is. And I think if someone was walking around the Redlands doing miracles like Jesus, if you went out to Cleveland Point and there's a guy walking on water, you'd have a few questions. You'd be like, and this guy's a religious leader, so he knows the scriptures well, and he's heard about this Messiah coming, and he's heard about this new kingdom that would be established, and that's what he talks about his whole life. And then he's seeing this guy do miracles that he can't explain, and he comes to Jesus because he wants some answers. John 3 says this, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, I love this. He goes at night when no one can see him. Like, I got some questions. Let's meet in the dark. I'm not doing it in the day. I don't want to look weird. People might see me while I ask my questions. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. He's like, eyes are opened, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the lepers are healed. So something's up with you. Now, in this moment, Nicodemus asks that question, but what he's really asking is, are you the Messiah? But he doesn't ask that question. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who just beats around the bush? Like, they ask, they dig to get to the point of the question. Like, they don't ask you directly, but they're kind of asking you. Maybe you're pregnant. And they don't want to be rude, but they're like, are you pregnant? You know what I mean? It's like, you know. And people are like, would you like a wine? No, excellent. You know, tick it off. You know, like, you know. So Nicodemus is human. And Nicodemus is going to Jesus and trying to beat around the bush and trying to get to this state. Is this the guy? He was digging. Was this the Jesus that was going to bring a new kingdom on earth? Was this the Messiah? And I love in verse 3, it says, Jesus replied. Jesus ignores his question because Jesus knows his heart and knows what he's digging for. Like, if you've ever read this, he never answers Nicodemus's question. He just launches into, I know what you're trying to ask. I know the heart of man. I know why you're here in the dark, Nicodemus. And so Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus' response is simple. If you want spiritual eyes to see the world as it was always intended and what I'm going to do, if you want to understand me and see the world completely differently, you want to have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear, you need to be born again. You need to start fresh. You need to hit the reboot button on your life. Have you tried turning it off and on again? So Jesus is saying, if you want this thing, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You need to start fresh. And Nicodemus responds in the most human and practical way to Jesus. You can picture, he's just snuck out from his wife. She doesn't know he's there. It's late at night. Sneaking out to hang out with a rabbi. And Jesus just says, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus is a man going, what? What do you mean? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And he responds how we would respond. He says, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asks, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Very true. Nicodemus isn't stupid. He's just very logical, very practical. And he's like, what are you talking about being born again? I don't get it. But I want the kingdom of God. I want it, but I don't get it. And Jesus responds in verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You must be born of water and spirit. And what Jesus is doing, he's actually triggering Nicodemus. Anyone ever said something to you that triggers you? Ooh, brings back a memory? This is a trigger moment for Nicodemus. Because he says, you need to be born again. And he goes, I'm telling you. And he's like, John the Baptist. So he's triggered and reminded of a guy that's been around prior to Jesus who's out in the desert baptizing people. And so he's triggered because, you see, John the Baptist was very honest. He said, you have to repent and you have to be baptized. You have to get your life back on track with God. And people were coming out to the desert to see this guy and he was dunking people all day. Let me read this and see why Nicodemus is so triggered by this. Why it's actually probably sent shivers down his spine, potentially going, oh no, I've heard this before. Matthew 3, it says this, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. See, John the Baptist was prophesied about. There was going to be a guy who came preparing the way for the coming king. So it's been prophesied about him, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. That's where John the Baptist was. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Nicodemus would have known that. And when he saw him, he's like, well, something's coming. That's why he approaches Jesus in the middle of the night. Are you the guy? John's clothes were made of camel's hair and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. He's an interesting character. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. You see, the people of the time, they were Jewish. They were, you know, would consider themselves God's people. But John's like, no, you're not doing what the word says. So you need to repent. You need to turn your life around and start following God again. So you need to come to God and say, God, I repent. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. Forgive me. And then John would baptize them and they'd come out of those baptism waters. They'd be forgiven. And John would go, now go and follow God. But in verse 7, as I said, everyone's coming out to do this. It says this, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was, baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Why did John do that? Well, the Sadducees and Pharisees were the religious people. John's like, why are you coming out to the desert to get forgiveness when you already know the truth? You already should be walking in this. Why are you coming out here to escape the wrath of God? You should be in good standing with God already. What have you come here for? A spiritual washing? Some kind of shower so you feel good about yourself? You're here to save yourself, not live for God. John calls out the religious leaders. It's probably a reason why the religious leaders and everyone arrested him. He got beheaded. True story. If you don't know the story of John the Baptist, he was so brutal, but he was telling the truth. You need to repent. You need to turn your life around. You need to start following God. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And now Nicodemus has heard these words. Now he's snuck out at night. He's hanging out with Jesus and he's saying, hey, are you the guy? Jesus, however, is a lot nicer than John. Jesus is like, I know your heart posture is not asking so you can escape wrath. You're here because you want to know if I'm God. You're not here trying to escape and make sure you're all good. You're not here to get a little wash just in case. You're here because you want to know what it looks like to be part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to flesh. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Today, many members in this church are getting baptized. They're responding to the command that Jesus says, get baptized. They're saying, my old life is going to die today. And today, a new life begins with God. Today, I'm going to be born again. A deeply spiritual moment. And as a result of today, everyone who chooses to be baptized will experience something that Jesus promises. They will experience love and joy. This is the most joyous thing you can ever do. This is like the greatest moment in your life. This is the reset button. It's the moment where you go, I'm not going that way anymore. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be obedient to his commands. And it excites me. Because the old life is being left under that water. And when each and every person who says yes to Jesus comes out of that water, they experience a new life. Today, Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus died, but 3 days later, he rose again. A new life, victorious, overcoming sin and death once and for all. And when people get baptized, they go into the waters of baptism, they're dying to their old lives and choosing to live for Jesus. And when they come out, just for everyone getting baptized, when you walk out of there, you're a new creation. Like, you are brand new. You aren't what you used to be anymore. Like, that's how transformational it is. This is not a spiritual washing. This is a rebirth. And when you do that, when you step in obedience, God promises that you'll be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. But not only that, you'll be able to see with spiritual eyes, hear with spiritual ears. The stuff that never made sense before is going to come alive. When you get baptized today, what you're really saying is, I'm going to apply exactly what Paul wrote about in Galatians 2. He says this about people who had been one way, then decided to follow Jesus, and this is the result. He talks about it. The Bible says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Paul says, hey, before Jesus, you were already dead. You don't even know what it means to be alive yet. For some of you, you've never experienced life. You don't even know what it means to be alive, and God has a whole new life for you. It's a free gift. He did it all to make a way. You don't have to do anything. You just have to remain in his love. It says this, in which you, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Notice it's all about obedience. You were once disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time. Paul's like, I was one of them. Hey, as your pastor, I was one of them. I was there. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, deserving of punishment. But because of his great love, the Bible says, his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, get this, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead, we were dead. You were dead in God. Some of you right here, just so you know, you're dead. You don't even know what it means to live. God created you to live. You were born into that space of death. Your spirit's not even alive. And what God says is, because of my love, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to wake you up. So good. This is really good news. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He says, hey, when Jesus rose from the dead, when we put our faith in him, we rise with him. We have life with Christ. It is the most amazing thing to know that I'm alive with God. I couldn't do life without it. For it is by grace you are saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Here's the interesting thing. This does not qualify you for God's love. He already loves you. He already died for you. He already rose again to give you life and life abundant, to give you the life that God intended for you from the moment you were born. This is a moment where you say, I accept that love, now I'll love you. That's baptism. By grace we're saved. It's a gift of God, not by works. Why? So no one can boast. No one can say, I'm a better Christian than you. I'm a better believer. Nah. None of us did anything. Jesus did everything. It says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. No, when you start to love God back, he starts activating in you everything you were called to do. Everyone's, man, there are so many books about finding purpose and finding your reason. Love God and he'll show it. He's prepared you for great work, but he wants to show you who he is. He loved you first. As a result of today, every person that steps out of here that gets baptized will be able to declare what Paul declared in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Like you're saying, the old me is dead. Like, you know, seriously, like you could have a new name if you want. I don't care. Like you're that far gone. Like, you are a new creation. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Man. Paul highlights it again. He's like, now I'm loved and he goes, but then he goes on, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. He goes, for it is righteous. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. He's like, he's trying to talk to these early Christians. He's like, you don't understand. Jesus loves you first. Remain in his love. Accept his love and then love him back. But he goes, but then don't get caught up in the fact you've got to work hard again. It's grace that you've been saved. So he's just in this tension. You can see the tension. And the tension for every one of you guys getting baptized today, you'll get this. You'll go, God, I love you. I want to follow you. You'll get out of the and you're, I'm a new creation. And then you can easily return to, I need to be good. I need to do good. I need to do good. I need to be better. I need a good. And Jesus is like, no, by grace you're saved. Remain in my love. If you stay there every day knowing that I love you, you're not trying. You're just loving back. And as a result, your life will change. It's the good news. Now remain in it. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. He's like, hey, I know you're my friend if you're just obedient. And this is what people are doing with baptism today. They're like, oh yeah, I'm your friend. He goes, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, everything I've learned from God, I've made known to you. And then Jesus says this amazing thing, because every person that gets baptized, understand this, you didn't choose God, God chose you. The scripture says it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, go and live a life that is for me and see the world transformed. I chose you. And he chooses every person in this room if you want to accept his love. Today is not about having a spiritual bath, feeling clean for a moment. I just need to feel clean. No, it's dying and starting new. Many of us think that's what baptism is. I just need to feel clean from some stuff. Wash me. And when we enter into baptism like, just wash me, then you come back to me in 2 years, can I get baptized again? I need to feel clean again. When you get baptized, you die. And you say, from now on, I follow you, Jesus. And he says, now remain in my love. May you experience my love like you've never experienced before. He promises this for every person that gets baptized. He says this, I have told you this so that you may have joy. May that joy be in you and that may that joy be complete. I hope every person getting baptized today is feeling pretty joyous right now, because he's about to unload joy like you've never experienced. He's about to pour out love like you've never experienced, a supernatural love. And in a moment, we're going to get you up and we're going to hear some stories of why people and what God has done in your life and why people are getting baptized. But here's what I want to say. Jesus loves you so much, he died in your place. He didn't just say, I love you, here, feel good. He went, I love you so much, you were supposed to die because of your brokenness. I'm going to die on your behalf. And the world will never know any greater love than this. And a man that lays down his life for his friends, he calls you friend. A friend of God. That's a pretty good place to be. And in this moment, I just wanted you to close your eyes for a moment. Just, I want you to reflect on the love of God. The love of God. Extended to all mankind. Jesus died for all. You will never be good enough. That's the whole point. It's called grace. He doesn't want you to be good enough. He just wants you to accept his love and then remain in it. In the space of, I know that God loves me. He calls me friend. And just like the message of John the Baptist, John's like, you need to repent. You need to identify in your life the broken mess, the sin, the stuff that is broken internally, no one sees, the stuff that you know separates you from God, the stuff that you go, if I had to meet God today, I may be a bit nervous. And Jesus, just like John, he calls us to repentance. He says, you need to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. And by grace, because of what he goes, I can forgive you. And when Jesus forgives, he says, I remember your sin no more. He doesn't forgive you for a moment. He completely forgets your past. That's the good news. Gives you a new start. And for some of you here today, you feel the weight of the world. You feel that heaviness. You know that you are away from God and you need God. And you're like, Jesus, I need to accept your love. Would you accept his love this morning? Would you repent? Would you say, God, I'm broken. I need you. Forgive me. Those words will change your eternity. If that's you here in this morning, you're like, whew, I actually need that. I need to know the love of God. I want to know that God calls me friend. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Where can I pray for you? And we're going to help you meet God today. Start you on your journey of faith. If there's anyone across the room from left to right, if you want me to pray for you, you want to know Jesus. You want to know. Yeah, so good. In the middle there, amazing. Jesus loves you. He calls you friend. He loves you. He calls you friend. Is there anyone else? You're like, I need Jesus. I just need Jesus. I need Jesus. Yeah, at the back. Yeah, awesome. Is there anyone else across here? Because we're going to pray. And we're going to help you connect with God for the start point. Because that's the start point. It's just like, Jesus, I accept your love. I accept your love. Is there anyone else here today? Just wants to accept the love of Jesus this Easter. We're going to pray. And for those individuals, I want you, we're all going to pray together. Let's just pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your love. Love in action. You died for us and rose again so that we can be forgiven. We repent of our sin. Please forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, give those people a massive round of applause. Truly, it's amazing. That's the most supernatural thing that could ever occur in your life. Before that prayer, you're going to hell, separated from God. As simple as that, it comes as simple as that. And you're like, hell? Hell is a place where God isn't. And God asks you, would you like to be with me? And you've said, I want to be with you. Your eternity is secure now for those people that prayed that prayer. For the rest of us, I want to say this before we get up the group of, I'm going to bring in the kids for baptism in a second. But I want to say this. Jesus says, get baptized. He just says, get baptized. But he says, it's not a spiritual washing. This is an obedient moment that's going to set you free and give you a spiritual understanding like you've never had before. I'm going to open your spiritual eyes, open your spiritual ears. I'm actually going to show you what you were made for. And maybe you're sitting here. We're going to get the guys who are going to get baptized up on the stage. But if you want to get baptized right now, if you want to join that team, go, no, I'm going to do that today. I'm dying to my old self. I'm going to start living for Jesus. If you want to run up on stage, you can join them right up here, okay? Like, I'm going to open up the stage. Because I think there's a lot of you that thought this was a spiritual washing, like a shower. But this is actually a declaration saying, no, Jesus, I'm following you, right? This is what I'm doing. I'm leaving the past behind. So I'm going to invite everyone up that's getting baptized. If all the crew are getting back, give them a massive round of applause. Come up. And if anyone else wants to join them, you can come too. Don't be afraid. This is like the greatest thing you can ever do. Come right up here, up on stage, guys. Come up on stage. Let's go. Bring the kids in. Come, they keep coming. And the kids are coming. All the kids are getting baptized, if you're wondering. So no, they're not really. Come in here, kids. Come in here. Truly, if your heart is pounding right now and you want to get baptized, come up. We'll get you baptized. Sometimes we think that we have to get to a stage, but it really is just a moment where we go, I'm going to be obedient. All right, so, man, we've got a stack of baptisms. Every one of you guys are saying, I want to follow you, Jesus. Is that right? Give us a big thumbs up if you're going to choose to follow Jesus. Great. But on a serious note, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, rose again, and if you put your faith in him, you'll be saved? Do you believe that? Yeah, you all do. Wonderful. Well, what we're going to do, I'm just going to introduce everyone here on stage. I'm going to read out all the names are up here. We've got Jaden, Matt, Loz, Liam, Ruby, Andrew, Ebony, Amy, Tim, Adelise, and Chloe. What I've actually asked these guys to do, I've said, hey, how's God changed your life? Like, what has God done in your life? And I've asked them to share just individually, what's God done? How has he changed your life? And so I'm going to start with you, Matt. I love this guy. Like, he's so good. Matt, how's God changed your life?
Well, I did write something down, but God has replaced my constant fears and worries, even when life is challenging. God brought me joy in a season, in a dark season of depression. God set me free from addictions, anger, unhealthy habits. God is the only thing I can constantly lean on. in a chaotic world. But now that I have faith that God is using it to build my character. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. Be not discouraged. For Lord thy God will be with you forever.
I'm just grateful for the healing God's done in my life and the peace He's given me.
Hello.
God's made me more appreciative of what I have in my life. He's removed any stress and anxiety about my future. And I have more courage to talk to Jesus about people who don't know Him yet.
I'm Liam, and like Az said before, like there's so many books on purpose and finding meaning, and it wasn't until I read the Bible and had a conviction to just randomly in a bookstore one time buy a Bible that I actually sort of found a purpose and meaning in my life. And so I'm so grateful for Jesus that I found Him and He revealed Himself to me, because I wouldn't be the person I am now without Him.
I'm Jaden, and probably about a year and a half ago I started following Jesus, and He's allowed me to see different perspectives and things, and just showed me that I don't have to face battles alone.
Hi, I'm Adelise, and one thing that God's changed in my life is I can always talk to Him when I feel alone.
I'm Chloe, and I have this thing written down as well. I'm not just have my phone for a reason. God has given me a reason when I found no other, and what other better reason than Jesus? God has changed my life by showing me what true love feels like. The everlasting love that God has showed for me, and the love that is filling, that is love that is in this church that has welcomed me, and I love that I can see the love that is filled when I enter this church each week. God has showed me what joy and happiness really feels like. I was reading during the week, and how it changed my life really summed it up in one verse, and it says, "So I commend that the enjoyment of life, because there's nothing better than a person under the sun." And it showed that many people have told me in the last year that they have seen like such an improvement in my personality, that I used to think that living was a curse and I was destined to, and every day was a punishment, and now I just so much joy because I know there is much more than that. I came to Beacon last year with one of my friends who invited me, and I am just so, so grateful for that. Now I'm just so grateful for everything that God has given me every day, and everything that's along the way, every step, every rain cloud or slight bump in the road is nothing compared to the joy that is coming and God has in store for me. I used to be really scared of the future and what the future is going to bring. But now I know that I have God on my side, and with that, I know God's got good things for me.
So I'm Loz, and for me it was 3 years ago. My friend brought an anxious, noise-hating kid to a youth night. But since then, like, it's been ups and downs and encounters, but that's not me anymore. And I thought this day was going to be next year. I had this plan of I graduate, I get baptized, and I restart my life. But God reminded me that that's not my plan to choose. I got the nudge of why not now? Do it like this Easter. And now I'm here. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Ruby, and God has changed my whole life. I grew up not knowing Jesus or if he was real, but since last year, I've come to build a relationship with him. I used to wake up and just dread every day. I struggled a lot with friends and felt alone and unwanted most of the time. This led to me questioning what the point to life was and if people's lives would be better without me. I remember there was one day last year when I had had a really bad day at school and I was watching my phone when a video of a youth group popped up. I remember praying that night for the first time. I said, God, if you're real, make a way for me to go to a youth group. 3 days later, a message popped up from my primary school best friend, who I hadn't spoken to in ages. To my surprise, it was her asking if I wanted to come to youth that week. This was the starter of my faith, and ever since then, I've been attending youth and church. I've made so many friendships, and Jesus has shown me that I don't have to submit to those beliefs. Jesus gave me hope and showed me the ultimate form of love by laying his life down for me. Thank you.
For me, my journey started a couple of years ago. We had some hard, difficult times in the family, and it was without God. I don't think I would have got through it. I think God still changes my life every day, and he gives me guidance wherever I go. He gives me everything I need, and I have this knowing feeling that he is there with me wherever I go, and I know that God, I know that I'm surrounded by God's love, and in turn I give love and forgiveness to others throughout my day.
It never gets old seeing life transformation. Like, just hearing some of these stories, like, oh, I prayed, can I go to a youth group next day? Yeah. Go, want to go to a youth group? What a coincidence. Or maybe God's alive and real. He's alive. He's alive and he loves people. He loves you. He loves every one of these guys. And they're saying, hey, today I choose to love you back. I'm going to remain in your love. I'm going to leave my past behind, be washed clean, forgiven completely. Every time you think about, oh, but God, remember, I often say this to people who become Christians or make a decision to follow Jesus. They go, oh, but 2 years ago this happened, I keep living. I go, if you met Jesus right now and you said, oh, Jesus, 2 years ago, remember, he'd go, what are you talking about? You know, when I did, I don't remember that. That's how much his love is for you, to forget and give you a new start. And that is the power of grace. That is what Jesus does for every person. You don't have to live in your shame from your past. You can be set free. That is the gospel. Like Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. Because he says he remembers your sin no more. And he is true to his word. Today, we're going to get these guys baptized. And I'm so excited. And we're going to pray right now. If you just want to close your eyes. God, you are so good. And God, your mercies are new every morning. God, forgiveness is available. Your love for us. Oh, the greatest love of all. God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. You died for us. To give us a new day. God, I thank you. This is a new birth stuff. This is being reborn today, born again today. God, I pray for every one of these individuals up on this stage that this will be a moment where they never go back. This is a life-altering moment, a supernatural moment. May they know that your joy is complete in their life. May your love be so present in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get some baptisms happening. And so if you have friends or if your friends or your family, you can come to the baptismal tank and
for the rest of us, let's stand up. We're going to celebrate. We're going to worship. You can come and get photos, whatever you need to do. We're going to celebrate these guys as they get baptized. Let's go.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.